Hello there. Welcome to this episode of Force Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and this week I will be discussing episode 5 from season 3 of The Bad Batch titled The Return. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to support Force Ghost Conversations on Patreon. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there will be a link at the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Also, please be sure to check out our T Public store to buy some Force Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it's time to gather around the campfire for some Force Ghost Conversations. Okay, everybody, welcome back to Force Ghost Conversations. And boy, do we have another slam dunk episode of The Bad Batch this week. Unfortunately, Mrs. Force Ghost Conversations will not be able to join us this week as she has fallen slightly under the weather over the last couple of days, so she's taken some much-needed R&R break in order to rest and recoup so that she can be back for next week and hopefully the remainder of our Bad Batch coverage here for Season 3, the final season on Force Ghost Conversations. Before we get into the discussion, conversation, analysis, if you will, of The Return, the fifth episode from season 3 of The Bad Batch, we have some news to get to in the Star Wars Lucasfilm galaxy, affectionately known in this segment as Cloud City Gossip. And to start, just announced today, at the time of this recording on March 7th, there is a new audiobook coming from Kevin Scott titled The High Republic Tempest Breaker. So this is pretty fresh news in terms of the High Republic world. It will be coming December 3rd, so you got a long ways away for this coming out. So you can catch up on all the High Republic books and comics and stories by that point, I imagine. So you got a ton of stuff coming down the pipeline. The tale finds the Jedi joining forces with Marauder Lorna D of the Nile. And the audiobook will feature a full cast and style of classic audio dramas similar to The Battle of Jeddah, Dr. Aphra, and Tempest Runner, which also had Lorna D, which is a really great story. One of my favorites, actually, in the Star Wars canon, and particularly in the High Republic. It's really well done. And, of course, they will do physical and ebook editions of the script following in spring 2025. So look for that next holiday season coming very soon. It'll be right around the corner, I imagine. But you can get a cover and some conversation with Kevin about this upcoming project on StarWars.com. Another big news release this week is that the hit series, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Andor, are going to be released on physical media. And rejoice across the land as we live in this era now of we don't know actually if streaming shows will be available ever on physical media. And I understand the business model of it all, where if something is available on streaming, like that's the incentive to be remained subscribed to that subscription service. But with that, like we've seen with Willow, they can take stuff down at any time and then re-put it back up or put it back down or give it to another streaming service. All that is in play, certainly. And as a consumer, it can be really difficult to know if there is any safety or certainty around those projects that we certainly love and adore. And especially if you are a fan of just looking at the full Star Wars saga and the collection and just saying, I own it, like I am. This is a really pivotal moment for those types of collectors like myself. So these two series will come to 4K and Blu-ray on, looks like, April 30th is the release date. And this is an awesome release. I've seen the cover art. You can find it on StarWars.com as well. It includes just wonderful artwork. It will also feature concept art for the series. And there's also going to be a ton of behind-the-scenes featurettes and commentaries for these shows, which is going to be so awesome. I really can't wait for it. And I eat up these behind-the-scenes details. You have no idea how much I absolutely love doing that. So just so excited to dive into these stories, to have the full Kenobi, especially Kenobi. I love that series so much. I can't wait to revisit it again. And particularly, I will sing the high praises of physical media all the time, right? It's a better picture quality, sound quality, everything is just better. We don't need to get into that right now. But just if you're a fan of that stuff and you actually want to own this series, these series, particularly Andor, maybe you want to catch up on the first season, and this is a reason to do so before season two eventually comes out, probably 2025. Be on the lookout for all this great stuff. So April 30th, be sure to check that out. I also wanted to flag in our next topic here that a remaster of the wonderful Star Wars video game Dark Forces has just been released and is available on PC and I believe most consoles, so I know I can go get it on the Xbox right now that I have. And this is a great fun game. I can't wait to actually play it myself. I definitely need to go get that, because I actually forgot when the release date was, and it kind of just snuck up on me, especially with the release of, or I should say the announcement of the classic Battlefront coming out that I'm certainly picking up next week. Dark Forces kind of just can't, I missed it. And now I am so thrilled to be able to revisit this story and to play the game in this remastered way. So I hope you're able to enjoy this as well. So be sure to pick up Dark Forces Remastered where you can. And lastly, I did want to highlight a happy book release day to the High Republic novel Defy the Storm by Tessa Grattan and Justina Ireland. Now, I believe this is a young adult story set in Phase 3 of the High Republic, and I cannot absolutely wait to get my hands on this, because Phase 3 for the High Republic, folks, has just been so epic. It has really built on all the storytelling that has come before it, and I think that Tessa Grattan and Justina Ireland have done wonderful work in the High Republic realm and series of storytelling so far. So for them to continue on those stories and the characters that they've kind of crafted and more or less taken to heart over the last couple of years, hey, this is an absolute must read. And this is really the first YA novel of this phase as well. So, you know, they've done a great job spacing out from the Eye of Darkness to the first kind of more middle grade reader story that came out a few weeks ago. And now Defy the Storm has now come out and the YA, starting off the YA series. So a lot of High Republic coming down the way. A lot of great Star Wars stuff is now in our midst. And of course, we have Bad Batch to talk about. So on the other side of this short break here, we'll be back with some Bad Batch analysis for the return. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Force Ghost Conversations, everyone. Let's dive into this new episode of The Bad Batch. It is titled The Return, and I think this is such an apt title. It was an episode that was certainly well needed. You know, this was one that we absolutely needed as fans. This was a conversation that we've been looking forward to for almost 2 years now. I think particularly for myself, from the last episode of season one, where Crosshair said, no, I'm not joining you, and turned away from the Bad Batch when they offered their handout in extension to them, saying, you're welcome to come back. And then he rejected that, saying, no, my place is elsewhere. And then, of course, that sets off the events that we later get to in season two that almost trickles down to actually where we're at now in terms of this episode that we're talking about today. So it's really a nice trickle down effect from that previous thing, that now with some added time and space in between and some life lived in between there, that we get this important conversation. Unfortunately, we don't have Mrs. Force Ghost Conversations to share her insights and opinions on this episode. She did want me to pass along that she thought this was a really important and impactful episode, and she really enjoyed it. And she hopes that you all did as well. She also added just some few notes that I think it's best for her to repeat. So we'll just give her a little bit of time next week's episode. Hopefully she recovers in time by then to have that conversation with us so that she can appropriately deliver her thoughts in that space and time. So be on the lookout for that next week. And we do miss her, unfortunately, in this week's episode as well. But we will track down as much of the information that we can that she would have said in this time appropriately. Yeah, so this episode is called The Return, and I think the first thing for me was how the episode started, right? It showcases Omega kind of sleeping on the ship with Lula and just living in this era of safety, comfort that she did not have for seemingly quite a while, months, as Crosshair pointed out. Who knows really how long, actually, the exact timeline that she was captured and now is in this position of comfort that she now is in with amongst her family. I'm going to declare her family at this point in time, right? Her squad. This is her family. Wrecker, a Hunter, and now even Crosshair, a part of the mix, too. I thought that it would literally be seconds after last week's episode ended. I think we speculated on that in our episode last week as well. I thought it would literally just be a continuation. It says The Return, it does that kind of drum beat that it does. And then just boom, right there, they have that conversation. But we don't actually see it. And that kind of subverted my expectation a bit. So I think at first I was a little like, whoa, that's kind of a bit of a shock. I wasn't expecting that at all. My brain, my speculation went elsewhere. So I immediately had to kind of toss that out of my window, my mind palace, and then say, okay, well, this is the story being presented to me. What are the themes and lessons that we can take away from that in order for this to be a really engaging and meaningful experience that the characters and the creators, the storytellers, wanted me to experience it? And then we, you know, it just, for a while there, it just seems like, okay, they're avoiding this conversation. So I wonder how it really went. Did they just say, like, okay, Crosshair's here, we need to get out of here immediately because they're tracking this ship, they could find it, we need to get rid of this vessel. Anywhere we land is going to be Hemlock searching for us, so we got to get to Pabu to regroup and to be safe again. So that's where they go. And clearly there's just this unspoken animosity between Hunter and Crosshair, right? They are definitely the two alphas of the group, as the, I think, Echo kind of alludes to later, right? Where them having this budding of words, this conflict between each other, it's kind of like bloodshed in a way, right? It's like, at least it hasn't amounted to that yet, because these two are just big opposing forces that when they come together could create this massive explosion of such. And, you know, there needs to be a lead. Not everyone can be an alpha. You need to have a leader and followers, and those are important to the dynamic of how a team works. And in this case, especially Crosshair, he was kind of his own wolf on his own for quite some time. So for him to regroup and to become a part of that situation again is so wild. I bet that's such a hard change for him. And especially since he's going through a lot of changes to begin with, right? You see him in this episode kind of realizing that something's off. His hand is shaking. I don't know if it's because of him losing this grip on himself. I mean, I think that that's a consistent theme that is recurring through the Bad Batch, right? It is this, I was bred for one purpose and now I am evolving beyond that. What am I to become? What does my free will entitle me to be, etc.? All that is kind of on the table to a large degree. But for Crosshair, it's interesting because he is not only experiencing what I just talked about there, but he's literally losing his ability to actually, like, almost be such an effective sharpshooter in a way. And I love to see AZ again, and good to know that he is safe and all right. May he always be safe and all right. I know I speculated with Mrs. Forsker's conversation that, like, okay, is this the episode where Pabu gets annihilated entirely by a hellfire rainstorm from a star destroyer, a couple star destroyers out in deep space? And thankfully that did not happen, and hopefully it never happens. I want AZ to constantly survive, and I want him to be there on Kefbir in The Rise of Skywalker. I want him to be at Exegol. I want that guy surviving. I want to be a part of Rey's new Jedi Order and years beyond that. May AZ never shut down. I hope he just starts up a droid retirement factory where him, 3PO, R2-D2, and Chopper, they all just kind of sit, relax, and have oil baths and be safe. I hope that is exactly what is the plan. But yeah, you see him just kind of struggle with this, and he comes to the realization. He's like, what's the deal? Why is my hand shaking here? Like, he's like Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan. Like, is this a part of the just him mentally, this block that's going on in his head, right? I think of like a Spider-Man 2, where Peter Parker kind of loses his ability to be a Spider-Man for a while, and he has to regain that. Is that the thing? Like, there's just some type of mental block that's keeping him from being an epic sharpshooter. Is it that they did extensive torture and or training? Not training per se, but like, you know, maybe they were taking blood samples from him all the time, and that forced, you know, him to lose kind of the natural ability that was given to him. Or perhaps it was being on this outpost, this icy outpost, Barton 4, for quite some time. And maybe that being exposed to the harsh conditions is what affects everybody in a certain way, right? Maybe his result is that he now has nerve damage as a result of being in such horrible conditions with horrible clothing and all that. So perhaps it's an amalgam of all of that. I don't know, but it's just interesting to know that he ultimately is facing that problem that I just described way in the beginning there, where it is a guy that is now coming to the realization that he is no longer, or through a variety of different reasons, is not what he once was, and now is evolving beyond that. And what is that next chapter in my life? What is it that I become? Do I live here on Pabu? Do I rejoin this group that maybe or may not be welcoming me back with open arms? Do I go off in the galaxy to find my own way? Do I join a Rex and an Echo? I don't know. These are all grand questions. I think over the course of the next 10 episodes or so, we will get more information on that in the series. So, because so much happens in the episode, but some of the big plot points is that, you know, Echo comes to Pabu and they go off on this mission, or at least the attempt of a mission is to find where Mount Tantus is, with the intent of potentially freeing the clones that are there, just finding out more information on what is being done there, and maybe bringing that to light in a different way. Senator Chuchi could always highlight, if they drop the right information to the right person, perhaps she could showcase that to a larger audience. I don't know. All that could potentially be on the table as we go through the course of the rest of the season here. But basically, there's a data pad that is encrypted that they need an Imperial computer, just encryption tools in order to bypass the security on the device so that they can find more information about it. Now, of course, there aren't too many open places where they can go across the galaxy that have the equipment that is needed in order for them to complete this task. But fortunately, as I alluded to a little bit earlier in this podcast, Barton 4, the place where Crosshair had his climactic episode in season 2 of The Bad Batch, where he killed that Imperial officer for basically treating him and his colleagues like absolute dirt and trash and just tossing him aside as useless pieces of trash. The turning point for Crosshair, right, where he learned that he was no longer a useful entity of the Empire. He was just a pawn that was meant to be thrown aside. That transition really begins for Crosshair in that moment in time. And of course, then Omega is helping her helm him along the way, I would say the rest of the way to where we're at now here. So they go back to this icy planet. They find that it's desolate. It's depleted. There's hardly anything left there. There wasn't really anything there to begin with. And now that, especially after the events of probably what happened with Crosshair, they were like, we're just going to ban this outpost entirely. There's no absolute need or resource for it at this time. So they got out of Dodge. And now because of that, they're able to come and utilize the encryption data tools left behind in order to access the information on this data pad that Omega stole from Tantus. Now, I will say just in general, just before I get to some of the nitty gritty meat of the episode, I will say just some of the conversations that needed to happen, right? The Hunter and Crosshair stuff that are pivotal. I did enjoy that all the pieces to the puzzle haven't been solved yet, that there is still, they don't have the entire location of where Tantus is. They have just, you know, some of the medical information. Just there's still a lot more to be known, in my opinion, about what Tantus is and what the information is that is going on in order for them to move forward in and determining how they make their next steps and where they go from here as a group and as clones, and all that information that needs to be taken into account in order to take those next steps. So they find out a little bit about the medical work that's being done on Tantus, but the cloud of that whole operation is still very much in play, in my opinion. There's also a huge ice worm attack, kind of timely as this episode comes out on the heels of Dune 2 being released in the cinema. And of course, if you have seen either Dune Part 1 or the 84 version, or perhaps you've watched the movie, read the books, you know that huge sandworms are a part of that lore. So just kind of funny that the timing of that all, where that's the big kind of animal MacGuffin of this episode, the monster that tries to attack and destroy the group, probably a main reason as to why the Empire is no longer on this planet, and probably a reason why they had minimal security to keep these creatures out. It was just cool to see. And I always like seeing these big monsters, these kaiju-like creatures attacking our Bad Batch crew and always putting them in situations and circumstances that force them to utilize their abilities, but also think outside the box and challenge their abilities in order to solve what needs to be done so that they can proceed to the next chapter. It really stays in line with that B action movie adventure serial stuff that is at the core of what Star Wars is and what it's doing. So that brings us to kind of like this conversation that Hunter and Crosshair have, where they both spit out some big truths with each other, right? Like, you know, Crosshair is like, Hunter is like, you're holding back for something. Like, what have you done that, how can I trust you basically if you are not willing to share? Are you going to just run off again? Are you setting us up for a trap here? Like, there's just so much animosity between him. And then Crosshair eventually comes to the point where he's like, this is where I killed an Imperial officer, right? It's just a really well done scene, if you ask me. And I think that they both make some strong points there. I don't think that they miss out on the fact that Omega, or at least they undermine kind of the fact that Omega was very much the leader getting them off of Tantus, and Crosshair certainly helped at various points, but he wasn't creating the plan, and how central she is to the crew and the Bad Batch and all that stuff. I just think that there's a lot more to discuss on the table there. I'm not sure how much Crosshair really feels welcome in this group yet because of this conversation. I'm not sure if Hunter is fully forgiven him for that, but them having this big fisticuffs of conversation, this emotional explosion, I think, of these two big heads coming together and being like, where were you? You left us. You abandoned me. You betrayed us. Why'd you betray the Empire now? How did you do it? Now you want to come back to us after all? Like, this is the conversation I thought that they'd have basically as soon as Crosshair showed himself in last week's episode. And now that they're like, having this big fisticuff of words, this is this is an interesting battleground in a way for them to do that, almost on the same steps where Crosshair made his choice to not be a part of the Empire. And now he has to kind of make a choice to, am I going to be with my former family again or not? Am I going to reopen some of those wounds? Am I willing to have those conversations? Am I willing to fight for this family again that I was with for quite some time before some of these crazy events happened, and then the Order 66 and the chip being in his head and then not in his head, and like, and these choices that we've made along the way to get us to this point. Yeah, there's just, it's a lot in this episode, and I definitely I can't wait to sit with it for a bit and rewatch it and just to soak in these important beats and words and conversations and all that. And of course, and then they have to fight again. They have to come together and like fight off this incredible ice worm type thing with multiple mouths and like an impenetrable armor skin. And it's funny how it just like at the end they just they hide behind that the barrier tool that basically helps to keep them separated from that device, from the, not that device but that creature. And the thing that like that's the thing that stops it is probably some like echolocation type device. Just absolutely bonkers to me that that's the thing that stops it. And it's so, and I like when Batcher was just like barking at it, like, oh, now you're tough, Batcher, you can handle it. You want to take down this thing? It's just like my dog, right? Where she will just, she's like maybe 15 pounds at most. And she'll bark at everything that walks by. But as soon as you walk into the house, she'll flip over and like start like rolling over on her belly and all that stuff and wanting you to pet her and all that. She just completely just gives up in terms of fighting and just is like, love me now. So it's kind of very similar to I think what Batcher was doing there, to be representative kind of the dog of this family in a way. And we got a return of that like Black Ice Vulture from the Star Wars databank, as it's called, that kind of is just lingering over Crosshair. And I like that it departs kind of at the end, showcasing that Crosshair has purpose again. He is not just languishing out there waiting for death. I think that is very symbolic, as it was in that episode where he made that fateful choice in season two. And then it's also a little bit in this episode until him and Wrecker, not Wrecker, but him and Hunter have that important conversation where they're basically just chatting through the big emotions of him coming back to the fray and being a part of it all again. I did like that they kept his armor too, which showcases that they definitely had an open heart for him to return at some point in time, whether that it was always going to be a rocky road no matter what. Like, obviously, I think it would be not true to the characters, if you ask me, if especially Hunter, if he had just opened up with full arms. Like, Hunter has always been more the protective one in terms of like the emotional status of the group, whereas I think Wrecker's kind of, it's like a soft Uncle Teddy Bear in a way. Hunter is definitely more like that dad that's like, yeah, I'm gonna be cautious, I'm gonna keep an eye on you, little tread lightly and all that stuff. So definitely I'm glad that they had such an important and impactful conversation, and I can't wait to see where next week's episode goes as they continue this kind of investigative search for more information on Tantus and where the story is going to lead from there. But with that, folks, that is all that I had for this week, and I thank you for allowing me to kind of just have this whole breakdown discussion of Season 3, Episode 5, The Return of the Bad Batch. Not The Return of the Bad Batch, but The Return, the episode title from The Bad Batch. And thanks again. Yeah, I can't wait to get Mrs. Forsco's conversations back on the show so she can share her insights and opinions, as those are totally, totally really valued on this site. And I know this is one of her favorite episodes of the season so far because of the implications emotionally of what it can do for the group and all that. So look forward to hearing some of her thoughts on opinions on this, hopefully next week then. And I'd love to continue the conversation with you all via our social media sites. Of course, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Hive, and TikTok. Just search for Force Ghost Conversations and you'll find us in some way, shape, or form. We also have a Tee Public store where we have a variety of different logos for Force Ghost Conversations. Our Star Wars, Indiana Jones, our Willow-inspired logo. We have merchandise with all of that on it. So we've got t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, baby clothing, stickers, iPhone cases, pillows, you name it. There's a ton of stuff on that platform with Force Ghost Conversations plastered all over it. So if you want to support the show first and foremost, and you want to showcase that you're a fan of the show and spread the news about what we're doing here and the fun conversations that we're hopefully having about Star Wars and the themes of surrounding it and all that stuff, be sure to check that out. Just go to Tee Public, search for Force Ghost Conversations. We have links just about everywhere as you can think. And also we have a Patreon site where for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to a ton of Force Ghost Conversations goodies. And for $3 a month, you can get a bonus episode of this podcast. So that is such a great deal. And I hope that you all are willing to take advantage of that so that you can get more Force Ghost Conversations in your life. And it goes to support the show directly, which means that I can do more cool stuff and continue to build the proverbial seats that are around this Force Ghost Conversations campfire. So with that, folks, that is all that I had for this week's episode. May the force be with you. Take care.